All right, we're here with Pastor Jeff Hubing, and we're talking about tongues. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about interpreting or just being quiet.
This is how I like to summarize the payoff in 1 Corinthians 14 that Paul gives to the church at Corinth with respect to how they should handle speaking in tongues in a public gathering. In other words, from my point of view, Paul gives them two options. First of all, either you include an element of interpretation that makes understandable the content of tongues for others in the corporate assembly, or you just don't speak in tongues at all. I believe what Paul is urging them to consider is the impact of their speech on others. Now, you might have heard the saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Well, in a way, Paul has a version of that. And it's something like this. If you don't have anything intelligible to say, if you don't have anything to say that can be understood by others, then don't say it. Alternatively, if you are going to speak publicly in tongues in the midst of a gathering of Christians, then you had better make sure that there is a way to interpret that speech for the benefit of others.
Now, I can just hear a charismatic believer saying, whoa, wait a second, this is pretty different than how I experience tongues or exercise tongues in a public setting. Like, for example, you know, someone who sort of prays in tongues quietly to himself, what would you say?
Yeah, and that's a totally fair point to make. In many of our worship services today, we have something which is sort of an accepted practice where individuals, as the music is playing and as other people are singing, could pray under their breath or whispering prayers to themselves, either in English or in tongues. And I think that's a fair point to raise. I hardly think that Paul meant for his instructions in these chapters to cover every possible experience of the Spirit or expression of the gifts. So I think there might be room for us to ask further questions about certain kinds of circumstances. If that's true, then I would suggest a few factors we should consider when answering a question like the one you raised. All right, number one, I think we should consider the purpose of the speech in question. In other words, in 1 Corinthians, Paul's concern is with publicly speaking out in a corporate setting. I don't think he's concerned with people who are sort of praying softly to themselves or even contemplating something or whispering it in a silent way, a prayer of thanks to God. I think Paul's concern is with people who are speaking to be heard by others. And I think in that context, if we have someone praying under their breath, whether it's in English or in tongues, in the midst of a corporate worship service, I think the point is that person is not trying to be a distraction or not trying to gain the attention of others, not trying to express something that others will hear. And in that sense, maybe we would say in both of those cases, carry on, brother. Go ahead, sister. But make sure that your speaking is not something that is perhaps going to draw the attention of others toward you. Because if it does, then you might as well be speaking for the benefit of others because you are capturing their attention. So maybe what we would suggest is make sure that the purpose of your speech is clear. If you're speaking to be heard, then you should speak to edify. If not, then your speaking can remain private, and you should try to keep it so that it is private. Number two, I would suggest that we consider the moment in the gathering when someone is speaking. I think we are all aware that there are moments in Scripture when the normal operation of a person's mind and body gets intensified because of the occasion. I mean, the Second Chronicles 7, when the priests fell down, they couldn't enter the newly constructed temple. Acts 2, tongues of fire are falling and the Spirit is filling people's, you know, minds and hearts. And, you know, I mean, this happens in the Bible at times. However, I don't think this is the normal process by which people worship most of the time, and even in the New Testament, there is the assumption, and something that Paul states very clearly in 1 Corinthians 14, that people exercise control over the Spirit. spiritual messages that they are giving to the church. So let's make sure that what we're doing is a legitimate expression of the Spirit, and not just that we're getting careless with the way that we speak in public or the way that we speak in the context of our meetings. Number three, and this kind of builds off of the second one, I want to emphasize this point. Paul does place the responsibility on the speaker for having something understandable to say. He says that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means whether a person gives a message of prophecy or if a person gives that message at all, they have the responsibility to offer that in a manner that is consistent with building up the body of Christ. So I would say this, maturity in Christ means that our public speaking, when we're together in the congregation, should convey the maximum possible edifying content. We should always want what we say to be building others up, and it's our responsibility to do that. Therefore, we must consider the teaching of Scripture in the way that we speak in those public gatherings. I've been a part of some services, Brian, where I thought, frankly, that the use of tongues was inappropriate because it seemed to me to deliberately defy the instruction of Paul, who's saying you can speak in much more edifying ways than this when you're gathered together, so do it. And if you're going to speak in tongues, then something should be interpreted for the benefit of others.
Okay, so now we've spent a lot of time talking about tongues from the perspective of 1 Corinthians 14. Is it anywhere else in the Bible?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14 is the most obvious place for discussion in tongues. But in fact, I would suggest that there are references to speaking in tongues in a few other passages of the New Testament as well. And we'll